Amen. Now, we've all, Brother Walter here, he's studied the book of Revelation quite a little bit. You've taught the book of Revelation.
Well, I have. Some yeah. Yeah, but not as much as you.
Anyway, we've had students. Brother Norm even wrote a little exegesis on the book of Revelation. And anyway, we have a lot of Bible students in here. But don't be frightened if you're not a Bible student, because if you hang around for a while, you're going to be. The Word of God will open up to you as you study it. Revelation chapter 18 starts out with metatate. What's it say in your books? After these things. That's what metatate means in Greek. After these things. All right. After these things. All right. Brother Walter, are you there? Read that to us.
How much do you want to read?
Just read the first verse.
Okay. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory.
All right. We see another angel, a different angel, coming down. All right. Coming down from heaven. All right. What's the Hebrew word for heaven? Anybody remember?
Waters.
Oh, well, uplifted waters. That's what it is. What is that?
Heaven in Spanish.
I don't remember.
What is
it? What is it?
Cielo is
what is it?
Okay.
All right. Hashimayim. All right. And Uranos. All right. Come down out of the heavens. We saw this different angel, another angel coming down out of heavens. Illuminated the earth with his glory. This is a very important angel, all right? A very important angel. Verse number 2. Sister Andino, are you there? No? No? Luis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons. It's prison for every foul spirit and cage for every unclean and hated bird.
All right. Now, Babylon is fallen. I told you a little earlier that my title... Could somebody turn that air conditioner down? Because we've got a lot of bodies in here. And it's going to get hot. All right? I think it's the other one. Just turn it down a little bit. Lex Talionis. That's what we call the legal term for this. In Greek, it's apodidomi. All right? And that means to pay back. That means to give back in exact. To give back. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a law, the law of Moses. And what did the law of Moses say? If you knock somebody's eyeball out, what happened to your eyeball? You got poked out too. If you knock somebody's tooth out, what happened to it? Got knocked out. If you tore somebody's ear off, what happened to your ear? You lost it. Simple as that. Now, if that law was put into effect today, well, if it was put in effect today, do you think it would be a deterrent to crime?
Absolutely.
Do you think it would be?
I think so.
Huh?
Yeah.
I think it would. It always was. God invented it. He designed it. It works. Guess what? How about the book of Galatians, about in the 5th chapter? What does it talk about there? It talks about sowing and reaping, doesn't it? What's it say? That which you put in the ground is that which is going to come back up, isn't it?
That you'll reap.
That's right. That thing which you sow is that thing which you're going to reap. In our lives, if we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap to the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, what happens? You reap the flesh. Now, that's just the way it is. You know why God wants you to be good boys and girls? Not to keep you from having fun. So you don't have a bad crop. It's simple as that. Now, this Babylon now, you remember, I remember some of the things you wrote about this Babylon the Great, Brother Norm. Where are the economic centers in the world today? New York City. All right. All right, New York City is one of the economic centers in the world, isn't it? Well, I told you before that the Antichrist is going to be over the Western nations, isn't he? It's going to be over the Western nations. There will be a religious leader. There will be a war leader, a military leader, and a political leader. Now, the Western nations, who are some of the other nations that are going to be against him?
The European Union.
The European Union will be with the Antichrist. All right? All the Western nations. Okay? That's it. Now, we think about that and say, is America part of that? Well, what do you think?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. America will not be the same country that it is today because we will be gone. But all of the foundation work for this union is in effect today, isn't it? Do you see it? You're going to have a number. You're going to have to be identified to work. And high security in the UN today, and even in the United States today, if you are working in high security, you are marked. Did you know that? You have a little pill put in your body that marks you and identifies you, and you're cleared for high security. Well, during the time of the Antichrist and this great religious, and it will be a religious society. Religion without Christ? Oh, yes. You know that most of the world is religious today without Christ. And even in Baptist churches, just because they say Baptist on the front of it, it doesn't mean that they know the Lord at all. Now, that's pretty hard talk, isn't it? But you've taken and you've studied what churches believe. And Brother Wally and I were talking over at the coast the other day. We were talking about 1948, wasn't it? Wasn't that the May the 14th, 1948. Do you know all the things that happened in that year? The important things that happened? Rattle off a few of them, Brother Wally. Just off the top of your head. The cotton picker was invented. That means machines took the place of mankind. They don't need man anymore.
The transistor was invented.
The transistor was invented. That's so you could...
China went communist.
China went communist. Israel became a nation.
Israel became a nation, and the World Council of Churches was formed.
The World Council of Churches was formed. Now, don't you think that that's just very important for that year?
Yeah. And Truman was elected when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Things happen. I tell you what. We have what we call God's unpreventable progress, God's eternal purpose. See what it says up there? God's plan of the ages. Sometimes people are elected that aren't the best for the job. But I can guarantee you one thing, that God will turn it around for His glory somehow. It's going to bring about His glory. It's going to bring about His glory. And the end result will be exactly the way He calls it. He allows things. This is what you call His permissive will. Okay? His permissive will. He permits it. Did God permit Satan to rebel and destroy the earth as it was stood in the original creation? God did it. Now, what happened when that happened? You know, there were animals on the earth. Now, we're going to get into the Bible in 8 ages right after we do this, okay? There were animals on this earth. There was a lot of vegetation on this earth. Well, we have what we call fossil fuel, don't we? Is that real important today? The economy is being leveled by the prices of fossil fuel today. We're going to have princes and we're going to have paupers. This is the beginning of that. In the book of Revelation, remember about the economy during the Antichrist's period of time? There are going to be princes and there are going to be paupers. Now, we're going to talk about the princes today. We're going to talk about the big leaders. I read a book here this last week. And I read things for illustrations all the time, how to bring things. There was a guy. His name was Kirk. He was a very rich man. And he contracted cancer. Now, when you get cancer, it's kind of a death sentence. I'm still alive. I've got cancer. But I'm still here. My heart's not doing so well, but I'm still here. And God keeps me on my pegs to teach. And I'm biting off a little more maybe I can chew. I don't know. I'm going to be teaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night again. I'm going to try that for 16 weeks in September. see if I can hold out and my brain works enough. See, my brain doesn't work very well either. Anyway, this guy, Kurt, see, I know me from the inside out. You just look at me, see. I know what I can and can't remember. It's pitiful. Anyway, I read this book about Kurt. He was a very rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was what you call a prince. America was founded here so people could have religious freedom originally. That's why they came over here. Well, they took the religious freedom away from the Indians, but they came into the country, and the East and the West Coast was founded. The West Coast was founded by Catholicism. Catholicism just decimated the Indian people here, did not treat them like human beings at all. They made treaties with them on the East Coast because those were the Church of England and the Protestants dealing with the Indians. They weren't dealing fair, but they dealt better than what they did. Well, they tried to import from Europe. In Europe, for thousands of years, what kind of political society has been there? How about India? Have you ever heard about the India? In India, what do they have there? They have what you call a caste system. Well, in Europe, they had a caste system also. The caste system was the princes and the paupers. And every prince was over a certain whole like governors, and they would use the people up. You know that a person in Europe, if you were a pauper, you could not go out and kill a rabbit or a pheasant or a bird or a pigeon or anything. You would be killed for going out. And you know, princes really didn't need that because they had their tables just lusciously lined. Now, I want you to look at this book of Revelation today in this chapter and see what's happening. In 1900, and I've said this before, Theodore Roosevelt said that America was not founded for America to become another society of princes and paupers. And we had a monopoly at that time of large businesses and powerful people in America. And these people were pulling strings. And boy, I mean, he put in the Antitrust Act and he broke it up. He said, we didn't leave Europe to make come over here and found another Europe. That was 100 years ago, people. Where are we today? Just look. Now, is that what's supposed to happen in the last days? Is it supposed to happen in the last days? Yes. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. And the Bible tells us this is the preview of the coming attractions, okay? All right. Number two, and I cried out with a loud, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Babylon means confusion. Okay? And she has become a dwelling place of demons. Guess what the word there is? It's Naos. In the tabernacle over here. In the tabernacle right here, what was this? Right in the kind of room in here? This was the Naos. This was the dwelling place of God, where the Shekinah glory of God was. Now guess about, now this is the religious, this is the political, this is the military leadership that is overcoming the world, that is leading the world. What is the wages for the common man during this period of time? Tells us in the book of Revelation, what's the wages that we have princes? We
a court a week or two courts apart.
All right. Court of wheat is the rations for a soldier in a day. Two quarts of barley. Barley is not near as high refined food as wheat is. And a penny is a day's wages. People will work only for what they eat. They will have nothing. They will be owned by society. They'll only get enough to eat. They will never have a bank account. They will never have anything. This is exactly the economy of the end times. Could we be going that way? It's not yet, but is the foundation laid?
That's not the oil and the wine.
Yeah, you can't have anything. It says you're not allowed to have any of the fine things, the olive oil and the soda pop, all right, or the wine or the nice drink. You're going to have water and you're going to have bread, people. That's it. That's what it says. The dwelling place, the holy of holies for every demon, demonic spirits. a prison for unclean spirits and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. All right? Number three now. Let's go and look at that. Number three. Brother David, have you got that?
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
All right. Her sensuality. The rich people in the earth are lined up with Babylon. The economy is centered with Babylon. When the book of Revelation was written, within 300 years, there had been a religious monstrosity that had begun to grow on the earth. We know it as Catholicism. Catholicism, the Catholic Church. Now, what does Catholic mean?
Universal.
Universal. All right. Universal Church. And they, when Constantine the Great came in, he established the church and the state as one. He was going to give religious... He is going to pay for the pastors in every city. He's going to pay for them. He's going to give them a wage. They went into every large city and they built a church house and they built baptistries for people to be baptized. And they also laid down the Council of Nicaea said what was right and what was wrong religiously. And they set a standard. This is the way it's going to be. Now, historically, history repeats itself over and over and over again, doesn't it? When America was founded, every state had a state church here. Did you know that? Europe had state churches. They didn't know anything different besides Baptists. You know, Baptists were heretics. We were oddballs. They had burned us at the stake as witches and everything else for hundreds of years. We've lived in religious freedom. The first religiously free society in America was Rhode Island. Dr. John Clark founded that system. Roger Williams also was working with him for a while. They wanted to do an experiment here, what it was like, where everybody could live in a state and believe and go to different churches. There wasn't anything like that. We have the amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of what? Rights. One of those is what? Religious freedom. You know why? Because in the original Constitution, they didn't have any religious freedom. Everything was state churches. So they devised not to do that. You could go and live in any state you want to. We still got one state church and one state, and actually all the surrounding state, and that's Utah. Basically. But you couldn't buy and sell or anything in those churches. You couldn't get a job in those states unless you were like that. You were religiously lined up with these. Well, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. All nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Spiritual fornication is what it's called. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. There's going to be a lot of rich people, rich merchants. That's what it's always been in Europe. They've always been princes and paupers. God told Israel he did not want them to be like that, didn't he? He said, I want to be your God. All right? I want to be your God. That's what we call the theocracy. What does theocracy mean? That God set the rules. God set the rules. And Israel said, we what? We want a king like the rest of the nations. So he gave them one, Saul. Saul meant ask for. The word Saul and the word hell, Sheol, come from the same root. Sheol's a place to ask about. All right? So Saul they asked for, and they got him. And what did God prophesy? He said, your kings are going to make slaves out of you. You're going to have taxes so high. With me, you paid a tenth. With him, you're going to pay everything you got. They will take your sons and put him in war. They will take your daughters and make servants out of her, and so on and so forth. This happened, didn't it? What was the epitome of that? Come on, a great king of Israel. Who was the epitome of doing that?
Solomon.
We think of Solomon as a great man, but Solomon was a godless man at times in his life. Verse number four. Have you got that, Rosalie?
Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sin, so that you will not receive any of her plagues."
All right. Now let me... You know, there's rules of biblical interpretation, aren't there? What is a rules of biblical interpretation? Brother Mike was spouting them off to me the other day. Okay, who's talking? What's it about? All right. Who's it speaking to? All right. So, during this period of time, now who's speaking? That's pretty easy to figure out. This angel. All right. What's he speaking about? Coming out of Babylon. All right. Who is God's administrator on the earth during this time? Who is he switching the reins back to? No. To Israel. Israel. All right. Here we have, right here, we're living in the church age. At the very end of the church age, all this has happened before us. Okay? At the end of the church age comes the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. God begins to deal with Israel again. After, when the church began, Israel was dispersed. When the church age is going to end, Israel has been gathered together. God is going to deal with them. God is going to use Israel for 1,000 years here to rule and reign on this earth. All right? So he's beginning to hand her back the reins. So when he tells her, now, are the Jews going to be involved in Babylon the Great? Yes. Yep. But what's he calling, telling them to do? Come out of her. Come out of her. You know, during the tribulation period, it says that Israel, the nation of Israel, will be born again in at an instant, at a period of time. Jesus said to them, as he was talking to them, they wanted to crucify him, they wanted to do away with him, and he said, "You won't see me again until you say, 'Blessed and holy that he is he that came in the name of the Lord.'" And that's speaking to Israel again. Well, they're going to see him one of these days. He's going to save them, because the Antichrist is going to go after them. When they come out of religious Babylon, the Antichrist is going to go after them. And guess who's going to save them? The Lord of heaven. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. Number five. All right. You're not going to be a partaker of the plagues. And God is going to protect Israel, isn't he? Number five. Who's got that one? Brother Norm, you got that?
For her sins and weeks from to heaven, God has remembered her iniquities.
All right. This is an unusual term right here. Her sins are glued to her. Her sins are glued to her, is what it literally says. And the knowledge of them has reached unto heaven. And you know what? Your sins, when you commit your sins, as a lost person, they're glued to you. You will answer for every one of those. As a child of God, once you've been born again and you ask the Lord to save you and forgive your sins, those sins are what? Washed away. Isn't that beautiful? And thrown in the deepest part of the sea. It says far, far away from you. Now, as a child of God, we talk about someone is saved, they're saved forever, aren't they? Now, what happens when you sin after you're saved?
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us.
Yeah. But what happens when we sin afterwards? Why does God want certain rules in your life? Because what we sow is what we reap in this world. You don't take it with you. You're not going to take it to heaven with you. But I'll guarantee you, you'll suffer for it in the flesh. That's what the book of James talks about. We're in the book of James, too. Sister?
If we sin after we are saved, we're going to suffer for those sins here.
We'll suffer for our sins here. not afterwards. They've been paid for. But when you commit something in the body, and the book, Paul and James says, some sins can even end your life. Now that is true, isn't it? All right. Number six. Number five, her sins are glued to her. They've ascended unto heaven. Number six. Here we have Lex Talionis here. Lex Talionis. Have you got, Brother Ron, are you there?
Yes.
You want to read that?
Give back to her what she has given. Gave her back double to what she has done. Mix her double portions from her own cup.
All right, from her own cup. She's going to be paid back now. That's the legal term is lex talionis. The Greek word there is apodidomi. All right, apo, it means from, and didomi, to give back. Pay her back. This is the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6 and Romans 12. Number 7 now. Number 7. Brother Richard, are you there?
Oh,
you?
I'm sorry. No?
Okay. Revelation 18 and verse 7. Are you there, Randy?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, okay, you're there. Okay.
Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts. I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.
All right. This is that religious leader on the earth. This is the religious leader that is also married to the state. This is the religious leader that's also the political head. Now, according to the book of Ephesians, Christ loves his church, doesn't he? His bride. And the church is the bride of Christ. And it says that the bride has made herself white, has adorned herself in white raiment. Talks about the bride in the book of Revelation. And it talks about the bride in Ephesians. And the Lord is going to love his bride, and his bride is going to rule and reign with him, isn't she? For eternity. Now, the Antichrist has a bride also. The Antichrist has a bride. And that is the religious woman. This is the harlot of the book of Revelation. The Lord's bride is not a harlot, is she? But the bride of the Antichrist is a harlot, it says. Now, this harlot of the Antichrist, what is he going to do to his bride? He is going to destroy her. The Antichrist, the devil, is going to destroy his bride. All the promises that he made to her, and all the way that she was bedecked in glory and beauty, with all of her glory, he's going to destroy her, and she's going to be double poor. Double poor. From riches to rags. Now the Lord's people, his bride, may be dressed in rags on the earth. But in heaven, they're going to be gloriously arrayed. It's going to be quite a difference, Brother David.
He says, I sit a queen, that's referring to, mm-hmm. to the
bride.
The church.
Yeah. The apostate, the church, and of course, the church is also the political leader. The church is also the what? The economic leader in the world at that time. All of it's tied together.
There's tremendous interest in apparition. Female god,
mm-hmm.
all over the world.
What is in this religious system in the last days? What is going to sway so many people? What is going to sway so many people in the last days? The truth is going to be preached by angels, by the two witnesses, and by Israel later. But what is taking place religiously in the false religion? What? Miracles. Wonders and signs and miracles. Can the devil do that?
We're already seeing some today.
Yeah, we're already seeing some of this today. It's going to happen. Those are the things. Now, I looked at the newspaper yesterday, And on the front of it was a 9-year-old boy doing miracles. And I read a little bit about this service that he performed, that he did. Had nothing to do with God. All physical and all feeling. What is the religion of the Antichrist going to be about? Feeling. 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 Mankind has always wanted a God that they could see and a religion they could feel. Now, I'm going to tell you something. True religion, there is feeling in it. But when you have a religion that's all feeling, you've got a problem.
That's becoming pervasive in a lot of the evangelical.
Even the charismatic movement, I believe, is going to be the binding of the tares in the last days. That is sweeping. And once people get caught up into that, how many people do you know that have ever left it? You're looking at one of the very few.
There are a few.
But once they've been slayed in the spirit and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to tell you something, people. It's hard to get them out. It's hard to ever get them out. It's hard for them because they know what they feel. God wants you to know what you know. Feelings. What's wrong with immorality? It feels good. What's wrong with drunkenness? It feels good. You know, it does. But it leads you astray, doesn't it? It does. It leads you astray. So be careful what you feel. Judge everything by what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. What is wrong in the charismatic movement? What is wrong with it, basically? Where is the problem with it?
It lacks objectivity.
There is not a standard. You have black and white Bible here. They said, well, I know what I feel. I know what I've experienced. When you take the Word of God, you have the Word of God. And there is continual revelation, isn't there? Are there any prophets today? Why? Because we have all the prophecy in the Word of God. We have the complete Bible. We don't need a prophet. Why would we need a prophet when we got the Word of God? Is the Word of God really true? Is it really foundational to Christianity? Of course it is. But others don't believe that. Continual revelation. What's wrong with the Mormon church? Well, first of all, it's built on the wrong foundation. But secondly, is they have continual, they have an apostle, and he gives them continual revelation. Yes, Brother Kevin.
There's a book out on, kind of like slain in the spirit and why it's false and false things like in Pentecostal and charismatic movements. It's called Counterfeit Revival. It's written by the president of Christian Research Institute in Canada.
Yeah.
And he does a pretty good job of
well, I wrote
just what you did.
My master's degree. Did you get the one I did on the near cult?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, okay, you got that book on the near cult. Not the cults, but on the near cult.
No.
That was my master's degree. That I wrote on in it, and it's about 40,000 words or something like that. I'm going to have some of them out pretty soon. But it tells what the gifts were and when they ceased and why. The problem with all of these religions, the problem with Catholicism is what? First of all, it's on the wrong foundation after they left the truth. But they have continual revelation. They have new doctrines and new dogmas that is by their apostle also. That's the problem. If the Word of God is true, if it is real, if it is foundational, if we can believe on it, that's what we need. We need to judge everything by it. But in the last days, there will be counterfeit religion. There will be counterfeit miracles. And they aren't really counterfeit. They are real. What about the miracles that happened? Let's go back in history again. What happened over here when God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage? What happened there? Did the devil do miracles?
Yes.
Were they real?
Sure.
Sure they were. All right. Let's go on a little further.
So often, Jim, a lot of these religions preach Christ crucified without repentance.
Yeah. We have to be careful of that. Number eight. All right. Who's got that? Number eight. You got that, Irma? No? David, you got that.
Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine and and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her.
All right, Jehovah Elohim, that's who that is, the Lord God. Number nine, have you got that, Marjorie?
I forgot my glasses.
Oh, you did, okay. Richard, he'll read for you there.
When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her.
All right. Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry.
Is that the Amplified Bible?
Yeah.
That's good. That is a real good translation and explanation of the original. Have you noticed that when he reads from this? I like to get him to read from that. The Amplified Bible amplifies from the original language what it's saying there. Who is going to do this? Who is going to tear his bride up and turn on his bride? The old devil, the Antichrist. All right, number 10, Brother John. Number 10.
Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come."
All right, in a short time, your judgment has come. In a short time.
In her opinion, is this an actual city, or is this the tearing up of a system?
That's a system.
You think it's...
That's the system.
Something
now, every...
Something maybe
it could be...
Rome getting burned up.
Well...
Or New York City, or they even think it's a revived Babylon.
It is a revised Babylon, all right. Because it's the Holy Roman Empire put back together. It's going to be the pomp and the ceremony of that will be in this, and the beauty and the gold and the silver. How many of you have ever been to the Vatican? Vatican City.
Yeah.
All right, boy. There you are. Gold and silver and riches. And that's just the type of what's going to happen. It's going to be part of it. All right.
Some say the Pope can't say silver and gold have I none.
No. All right. Number 10, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, ooh-ah, ooh-ah," is what it says in Greek. Calamity, calamity. The great city, Babylon, the great city, for in 1 hour, in a short time, is what it's talking about, your judgments have come. And verse 11 now. Verse 11. Have you got that, brother? Are you there?
Me?
No. Yeah.
Okay. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
Well, you know, if you go back and you find the plagues that are come upon the earth. When I talked about this man, started talking about this man a while ago, this man that was so wealthy, and he got terminal cancer, and it was ravaging his body. He went to a doctor and he begged that doctor. He said, "Do a miracle. Anything. I want to go back out there and I want to." He said, "I got these Japanese going to come over here and I'm going to sock it to them, boy. I'm going to make one more trade. I'm going to do this. And you got this time." And you know what? He did it. That doctor cured him for a short time. And he'd take the Lost Wall Street Journal, he'd take all the Los Angeles Times and New York Times, and he'd read through all the statistic things, and finally, at the last part of his life, when he got started getting sick again, he didn't read the newspapers. Nothing was any interest to him. You know why? You don't take any of this out of this world. His idea, and the doctor that was treating him was a Hebrew or a Jewish doctor. Guess what? Religiously Jewish, guess what he was lined up as? A Sadducee. What do Sadducees believe? Remember what they didn't believe in any spirit world at all. They didn't believe any life after death. They just said, the only thing that you're going to leave behind is a memory with your children. That's all you're going to leave behind. You just go off and become nothing. There is no spiritual world after that. So here this doctor was trying to treat this man, a wonderful doctor, trying to help him, and he's there, and they're both saying, "Well, what's going to happen?" "Well, it's going to just evaporate and go on in time." You know what? That isn't what's going to happen. They're going to meet their Maker. They're going to meet their Maker. There is a continuous consciousness. And what you do in this world has definitely got to do with where you're going to spend eternity. The smoke of her burning. Oh, boy. Verse 11. The merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. I guarantee you, when you get sick, when you're terminally ill, worldly things don't mean a whole lot to you. You're not going to get to take it with you. You're not even going to enjoy it much, Kevin.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of cults, and I brought this to the attention of Jehovah's Witnesses. A lot of the time, they'll say there's no consciousness and nothing afterwards. Immediately, what I show them is that Moses died in the end of the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy. But you look at the 9th chapter of Luke and in the Transfiguration, he even says in their own Bible they're talking with Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, they're simple, very simple biblical arguments.
Yeah.
A lot of people that keeps it.
Yeah. It's there is something that goes on after death. Life is not what you have. You can be very poor. Jesus said, and I've said this over, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Number 12. Brother, now on the back row back there, have you got your Bible? Nope. Oh, all right. Anyone back there? No? How about that young man? All right, Revelation 18 and verse 12. Have you got that? Can you read that for me? Okay, that wood means aromatic wood, like red wood and woods that have good smell to them. All right. All of these things, the common man couldn't have them, could he? You know what? The rich people are being destroyed. The rich society is being brought down. So when the rich are gone, who are you going to sell your goods to? Think about it for a while. When that society that can afford your goods, there's people all over America today, right now, are really worried. There are people, I talked to a man last night, he had to borrow money to go to work. For what? Gasoline.
This stuff is 50% off.
You know what? When all society is broke down to just the rich and the poor, and you kill all the rich people, guess what's going to happen? There is no way to sell it, your goods. There is no market. And when you have no market, what do you have? No commerce. Just look at it like that. Number 13. Read. Can you read number 13 for me? Because that's a continuous subject. Well, they're not going to be able to sell their big automobiles, are they? All of the fine things, all the luxury vehicles, all the luxury things of life are going to be worthless. There's going to be no market for them. Number 14, Brother Bill. Yes.
From the last part of verse 13, it says, and bodies and souls.
Slaves. They have slaves again. There will be slaves. What has European society always majored on? Slaves. What has Catholicism always done? All of the missions up and down California, these were not farms that were willing little converts. These were slave plantations. Again, slave plantations. People's lives that are old. All right? And verse number 14, Brother Bill. All right. And brother, the other Brother Bill, are you there also?
Yes.
All right.
The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and waiting.
All right, go on to number 16.
And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones.
Go on to 17.
For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all that company of ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off.
All right. everybody that had anything to do with the economy that fed the rich society of the earth, the captains of the ships, the workers. What is one of the most highest paid sailors? Who are they? The almost highest paid sailors in the world today. Well, no sailors, just regular workers, ship hands. Where are they? And what are they doing? Alaska. Getting those king crabs and stuff out there is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. Very, very high paid. But there won't be any buyers. There will be no buyers for any of this stuff. All right. And in 1 hour, instantly, in a short time, the economy went to great to zero. Great to zero. Number 18, Randy. Are you there? Number 18.
And were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city?
Number 19.
And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste.
Now what does the word woe mean? Calamity. Ooh-ah. Calamity. Now, the religious world and the political world of the Antichrist and all of its caving in a short time. In a short time. Where do we finish off there, Brother Randy? 19. Read number 20 for me.
Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets. Because God has pronounced judgment for you against her.
All right, here we have the word lex talionis again. Payback. 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 You know, God set in order government. It actually was set here. Even at this period of time with Noah. And he told them how things, there's supposed to be rules. Well, society has broken all the rules. America, in the last 15 to 20 years, has educated people to lie and to steal and be covert. And they have glamorized the rich. Well, like Donald Trump, you see this on television. You know, I know that he's got some kind of show where they fire people and they're climbing ladders and doing all this kind of stuff. This has become the thing. Some of the last jobs that I worked at, I was supposed to lie to the public and just get them in there. No matter what it is, lie to them, get them in there, get their equipment apart so you can get the job. Do whatever you have to do it. Don't be honest. Dishonesty. All right, number 21. Number 21. Robert, you over there? All right.
And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all.
All right. She's going to be done and over with, isn't she? This is the Antichrist bride, the bride of the Antichrist that was arrayed in all of her glory and finery. Number 22, brother. Go ahead.
And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft in thee shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a milestone shall be heard no more at all in thee.
All right. How many of you have gone down into Los Angeles off the mountains in the nighttime? See all the cities lit up down there. When you go over toward Las Vegas, you go in there and you see a city of lights. It's like daytime. You know, the pigeons don't even know it's daytime, nighttime over there. Them flying around out there, they don't even know it's light. God is, they've messed the world up so much that pigeons don't even know to sleep at nighttime. That's pretty pitiful on animals. Animals usually a lot smarter than men. I'm going to tell you, they're little thinkers. But they got confused. Well, you know what? The lights are going to go out. the lights of the reveling and the lights of the beauty are going to go out. Verse one, number 23. Number 23, Randy.
And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery.
All right, the word sorcery there, what in the world do you think that is? Sorcery. What is it? No, not witchcraft, not literally.
Dope peddlers.
Drugs. What kind of drugs? Alcohol. Marijuana. All kinds of drugs. All kinds of drugs. All the kind of drugs that society runs on today. And the rich people, you know, they can get by with this, can't they? They go out and get picked up for drunk driving, and they're not picked up because they know somebody. Well, it's all going to end. It's all going to end. Number 24. Number 24, Richard.
In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints, and of all who have been killed on the earth.
All who have been killed on the earth. In this woman was found the blood of the prophets and the saints. Now, was Israel actually part of this false religious system, a foreview, a preview of it in the Old Testament? Hell yeah. Well, it's always the false religious system. What did Jesus say unto the Pharisees and scribes, which were the leaders of Israel? Woe unto you, blind guides. Now, what's it say here? They were deceived by your drug abuse, by your sorcery, by sometimes witchcraft. All right, is witchcraft got a lot to do with drugs?
Sure.
Yeah. All of this thing. How about in some religious services? Do they go and they use drugs? In her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who have been slain on the earth. Now, look over here to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. It starts off again, metatate. Look and see how John likes that term, by the way. He likes that word, metatate, after these things. Now, there are many Hebraisms in the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is written in Greek, but it used Hebrew terms and Hebrew figures of speech. Back over here, it said they had thrown dust on their heads, ashes on their heads, and they were dressed in sackcloth and all of this. That's a Hebrew term, isn't it? All right? Hebrew term. Now look over here in 19. Now this is a great chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard as it were a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying. Here we have the Hallelujah chorus. Isn't it beautiful? Brother John, you play in the orchestra. The beautiful, beautiful sounds of the orchestra. And you get to be around it all the time. You know what? One of these days, that's just previews of heaven. And there won't be a note that is wrong. Not one. No wrong note. All of you here that play, Richard and Marjorie and Randy, all of you that play in orchestras today, it's just pieces of what's going to happen at that period of time. Well, that's where we're ended today. I'm not going to go any further. We're going to save this 19th chapter for next week.